Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang. Of course, still shelter in place, quarantine edition. I am your man, Skip, aka Skip and Tosh, aka Kurt, for whoever's been here, you know, for our various people that have been here for quite a long time, know me by all three monikers. But we are joined by three other people, of course. Everybody is very familiar with Miss Emma Sky. Say what's up to the people.
Hello, hello.
Indeed. And of course, we have the ever infamous Lexi. Lexi, go ahead and give a hello.
What's up? How are you guys?
There we go. And we have a special guest with us today, someone who's very excited to talk about a topic of discussion, a heated topic of discussion. Welcome to Video Game Bang, back again, because this is not the first time. Thank you for joining us, Kitty. Go ahead and say hello to everybody.
Hi, guys. I am here to talk about the things.
All of the things, because there's so many to talk about. But
it's going
to
be an emotional discussion there.
It is going to be emotional. Yes. We will have a soapbox. We will have tissue papers. We will have shoulders to cry on and ears to yell into as we are here live. But before we jump into all of the awesome topics, we always want to say thank you to one very special sponsor of the show, which is Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Though many states, of course, in the U.S. and many places around the world are sheltering in place, it's still very important as much as possible to try to support your local businesses, especially your local comic shops and whatnot. So Video Game Bang, Video Game Bang has not forgotten about Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. Hang in there. And anybody, if you're interested in supporting them, there is still a GoFundMe, Emma? Or?
Yes. Yeah, it's a GoFundMe.
A GoFundMe where you can contribute to helping them keep the lights on and keep providing awesome service for us. So once we get out of this crazy thing, we can all go back there and meet up for the trivia nights that we were doing and the comic book purchasing that we were doing and, of course, the tasty drinks that they provide. All right. Now that that's out of the way, we got some topics to talk about. But before we talk about topics, we're a video game podcast, so I think it's only appropriate for us to talk about some of the video games that we've been playing this week. What you playing, Lexi? What you been playing?
Well, with everything that's going on, I've been trying to play more League. Nice. And try to rank back up because I did fall a little, but we're coasting. I also got the Yakuza game, so I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to. And then I also have Genital Jousting. Have you guys heard of that?
Really?
Please talk about that, because that is.
I have so many questions.
I only have two. Go ahead.
You just gotta tell people that you're playing Genital Jousting and then just leave it.
I was like, I thought that's what everybody who's sheltering in place with their husband or girlfriend or significant other is doing.
No, like, you know, I was gonna just play Genital Jousting. I haven't started it. The reason I waited is because I feel like that would be a good stream game just to talk about, you know, the topic.
The birds
at hand.
And the bees. Okay.
So, the birds and the bees and the flowers and all that. I got it because it looked really interesting, and I like weird games like that, and I've been wanting to play Goat Simulator 2, which that is on sale now. Like, I think it's $2.99 or something. It went on sale like this past weekend, so If it is on sale, you guys go get it. But I like games like that, so I'm very
also,
interested.
Genital jousting is banned on Twitch, so you can't stream it.
No way!
Yeah, it's banned on Twitch.
I'm not surprised.
Okay, we'll just make some videos of that one. I don't know if it's YouTube or anything. I'll do some clips of my first initial thoughts of it. But yeah, that's what I've been up to recently. And of course, like the Mega Man collection. So yeah.
Okay, getting some Mega Man in, some Capcom, one of my favorite game publishers. Yep, very nice. All right, and then so Emma Skies, who just did a big old charity stream, so obviously was gaming quite a bit. A very successful stream, I might add. Let's talk about what you've been playing and your stream, Emma.
So we've been talking about the charity stream for the last couple weeks now. We kind of been mentioning it on the show, you know, April 4th, 2020, midnight to midnight, or 12 to midnight, whole thing. So my goal this year was to raise $5,000. Last year, our goal was $1,000 and we raised $3,000. So I was like, all right, we had three last year. I feel like five is like a good, you know, that's a good step up. You know, hopefully we reach it, maybe we won't. I wasn't like super sure. I know that like it's a really hard time for a lot of people. Everybody's income's been cut. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, maybe we hit five. That'd be cool. We made $12,000.
Holy smokes.
We hit $12,165. Actually, I have to amend that, $12,265, because my grandmother, bless her heart, doesn't know anything about Twitch or the internet, so she mailed me a check.
Oh!
Shout out to my grandma.
How cute. Shout out to grandma. Absolutely.
But yeah, it was fucking crazy. It was 12 hours and it was just nonstop the entire time. I want to say we hit 5,000 like 5 hours in. And then it was like, we have another 7 hours. Okay, we're going to see what happens. And it was outrageous. It's crazy. And actually, I am going to be on Good Day Sacramento tomorrow talking about it.
Hey.
Catch me at 8 a.m. on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, you're I'll
gonna,
be asleep.
I got to get up early. I got to get up early and get ready. Oh, wow. It's going to be over Zoom, so I got to figure out what my Zoom background is going to be. Big questions, awesome. Everybody. But yeah,
I'll catch
crazy.
It later on the internet.
Yes, I will post links. I will post links. But yeah, it was fucking crazy. I still don't know how to process what happened.
Dude, you made me cry. I was so proud. I was so happy for you. I was just like, oh my God.
I cried a lot too. Oh my God. I don't even know. I still don't know. Like, ask me again in a couple months how I feel about it, because I don't know. It was really, really amazing. I am incredibly grateful for everybody that came in and donated and watched and shared. We had like a huge viewership the whole time, which was crazy. It was beyond what I expected. So that's what I've been playing. A whole lot of games for charity is what I've been playing.
There we go. Sounds like success. Super proud and super happy for you. And I guess I have to wake up. Well, I'll already be up. Usually I'm up by that time, but I'll definitely be tuning into Good Day Sacramento to show some support. Absolutely. So, and Kitty, finally, last but not least, what are some games you've been playing over the last few days?
Well, I have to blame this one on Emma. You made me play Uno because I wanted to play Uno out of watching you play Uno.
The amount of people that told me that is amazing. I got so many people onto Uno.
So besides Uno, for sure, right now I'm playing Soma, which has been an interesting experience for sure. It's kind of a puzzle horror ripoff BioShock. That one's been interesting. And then I promise guys, I do play video games, but I did play the Mass Effect series for the first time finally. And so I finished Mass Effect 2 up very recently and I was very impressed and absolutely loved it. And then I'm always playing Overwatch. It's an addiction. But those are going to be the most recent games so far as of late.
Awesome. Great set of games. All of them sound a lot better than the games that I've been playing, but Nonetheless, I've been still gnawing away at Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, enjoying that more and more. As I've been reading more comics than usual lately, it's nice to like read some comics and jump back over to the game and being like, oh, cool, I just read a cool story with you, Nightcrawler. Now I get to use you to beat up a bunch of goons and, you know, fight Dr. Doom and Green Goblin and all that. So still pecking away at that. I also played some OG, like, Sega Genesis game. I played Captain America and the Avengers, which that was on stream for a video game, like, Twitch. I mean, not video game, but a comic book Twitch that I help with. This is the video game one. Too many Twitches. Trust me, I'm all over the place. And I've also been playing. I started playing Smash Brothers more again. Ken plays a little different than Ryu. He's better in that game. And at first it was really weird. And I was like, there's no way that I'm going to learn how to play with Ken. And then finally I just broke down and did it. So just been playing some Smash Bros. Like I said, with Ken and then a few other characters, just trying to, you know, do things to keep myself busy. And I also went to the PlayStation Now thing looking for some other video games that they had. They had Uncharted 4, I think, for free, and I just didn't have the space for it. I'll have to clear out like some of my NBA 2K stuff, since I surprisingly have not been playing a lot of NBA 2K.
And, wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Wow. I'm surprised too. Yeah, it's. I don't know. Curtis said
the NBA season is suspended, so 2K is suspended. It takes it very realistically.
Yeah, I did. Like, no more games. NBA 2K is canceled, even the video game. So yeah, that's pretty much been that.
Who's your go-to for Smash?
My go-to for Smash was Ryu, before he got nerfed. And then also,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, he got nerfed hard. So I've been playing around with Ken, but all time from the time she got into the game is Lucina.
Aww.
Yeah. Love Lulu. That's my girl. If I'm in a pinch, I remember I was in a tournament and we were getting our butts kicked, and I switched to Lucina, and it was 2v1. My partner Malik, he got eliminated, he was out, and we whooped. I just annihilated these dudes with Lucina 2v1, and they looked at each other and they played like they were try hard after that. They kicked our butts, but ever since then Lucina's been pretty much been my main. So
nice.
All right, well, out of the world of games that we've been enjoying and into the world of video game news, and bum bum bum, not all of it is good. Starting off with E3, which we finally found out is not getting a digital replacement. Emma, what were some of the particulars of that scenario?
So the ESA canceled E3, what, like a month ago now? Month and a half ago?
Sounds about right.
And at the time, they had said that the ESA, who runs E3, was working out how to do a digital show. Because, I mean, a lot of people watch these press conferences online anyway. You know, it's fucking 2020. There's no reason we can't do digital press conferences. It's really kind of ridiculous. So they announced, I think today, either today or yesterday, that they are not doing online E3. Just the whole thing is canned. Fuck it. We'll come back next year. We're out. So a lot of these devs and companies are doing their own conferences and their own online streams. But E3, the ESA, will not be hosting one overall, which I'm actually kind of bummed about, because that would have been nice to just have them all in one place at one time and know where to go.
Yeah, definitely. Because now it introduces, like, you know, the whole, I guess, problem of, you know, them coordinating and finding their own times. And then I'm sure some are waiting to find out when others do theirs, so they're not doing them at the same time if they could possibly avoid it. And, you know, also same for people at home, that if they end up booking them at the same time, you know, trying to double screen it, like either have it on your computer and have it on your phone, or split it between your two screens of which ones you're going to watch and mute and go back and forth. So yeah, it's, from that standpoint, I can see it being, you know, a little disappointing. But what do you do? Were there any in particular that Kitty, that you were looking forward to seeing at E3?
Well, I always enjoy Microsoft's press conference because they know how to put on a show.
Yes.
And obviously, God, I swear I'm a Sony fangirl. I'm just, guys, it's going to sound like I'm bashing Sony this podcast. But as you guys know, Sony cut out a while ago of E3 and said, oh, yeah, we're not going to be there. There was no place, just an experience back in December. And so a lot of us have just kind of been hanging on for, you know, certain titles, which I know we'll get to tonight, but or not get to anymore. I'll go out the field. So
get
anyway,
wrecked.
But with E3, always look forward to Nintendo and Microsoft. And then of course, there's definitely certain titles within certain companies I was definitely looking forward to seeing more information on. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm sure we'll get more news articles than anything that we'll have to read online. We might get, you know, for sure, you know, Nintendo might do kind of like what they do with their Treehouse kind of video presentation. I'm sure we'll probably get that from, you know, major companies. I'm just not sure how they're going to go about scheduling it, like you said, and how we're going to be able to see all the news that we need to see. But for sure, my number one's always that Microsoft press conference. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting year for gaming, that's for sure.
I don't really know what to expect because most of these devs are going to do their own thing. Bethesda, I think, straight up said that they're not having their own digital event. Like, Bethesda's just not going to have a press conference. And I'm so upset. Like, that can't be right.
I just want more Skyrim knowledge. That's all I want to know.
You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it.
I know.
They'd be like, you played on your Apple Watch now. Congratulations.
But like a lot of
I was really looking forward to it because I want to hear more about Deathloop. Because they announced Deathloop last year and haven't said anything about it since. So it was like, E3, let's go.
Yeah, there's some Ubisoft titles, too, that I've been, like, waiting on for sure. Because I know they've teased the new Assassin's Creed as Vikings with Norse mythology, you know, kind of piggybacking off of God of War there. But ultimately, I'm still waiting for, Skull and Bones? Because I just want basically
never
the Black...
Come out.
I just want that Black Flag simulator, man.
Didn't they
just
announce
want
that game,
my
like, 5
battles.
Years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Lexi, what's your E3 go-to every year?
I mean, I'm with Kitty. I love Microsoft. It's my favorite. I also love Bethesda. So I was pretty bummed out about all of these. I always just watch either Nintendo or PlayStation, depending, just to see what they have. Because Nintendo's always had a place in my heart. PlayStation, I have certain titles that I like Final Fantasy VII, like the remake for that, I was pretty excited for, but I don't have a PlayStation, so there's that. But I grew up playing like PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1. But I feel like a lot of the developers and even like in the gaming space right now, like we'll see this as an opportunity even for next year to maybe host more online material, because I feel like I watch E3 religiously every year online. Mm-hmm. And the gaming awards and anything that's streamed. So I feel like this is a great opportunity for them to do more giveaways online and more like interactive things for people at home. I feel like this quarantine will help them realize the importance of the people that don't get to go to the events. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of shutout from it. Like they're like, oh, they're fine. Like we'll give away a few keys here and there, you know, and everybody's fine. But it's like, we want that too. I don't know. I feel like it'll just open their eyes more for next year.
I hope so. I want to get a lot more of these online things. So IGN is also doing a bunch of online events that they're calling Summer of Gaming, which it kind of sounds like they're trying to capitalize off the fact that E3 is not happening. So they're partnering with a bunch of these developers, and they've announced some, and they've said that there's more coming. But they're partnering with 2K, Square Enix, Sega, Bandai Namco, Amazon, Google, Twitter, Devolver Digital, and THQ Nordic right now. So ostensibly all of those will have some sort of online press conference or announcements via IGN.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It is an opportunity for other people to step in and, you know, Because, I mean, that's the other part of it, too, right? Like, obviously, as we want the news and stuff to occur, part of the reason that we want that is, you know, our entertainment to take our mind off of the things that are going on. So if someone else like IGN can come in and step in and they've partnered with some, you know, some notable people, I'm interested to see what the end result, you know, will be. But I mean, for people that were looking for stuff, I want to see how many people also end up, you know, finding out about it and then going over there and participating or watching it too. Cause I mean, this will be their first year doing something exactly like this in this time slot, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. All right. Well, from all of that news to over to some other kind of interesting news.
Oh, no. Unsurprising news.
Yeah, I think Emma coined the more accurate term for it. Unsurprising news. Good old Google Stadia, the most popular, the hottest thing hitting gaming since it was announced. Ghost free. It has been liberated. It is no longer sheltering in place. It is for everybody. Now let's see how many people are interested. Emma, are
still
you
nobody.
Finally still nobody? Okay, so, so Emma, you're not a fan, is what you're telling me. You're not going to dive into Google Stadia.
I still don't give a shit about it. But yeah, Google Stadia is officially free to everybody. You can just sign up with a Gmail account, and at the free tier, it works like anything else. Like, it allows you to purchase games and stream them up to 1080p, 60 FPS with stereo surround sound, which I don't know why there would be any other option, but whatever. Yeah, so if you have a Gmail account, you can get Google Stadia, and I still...
Which everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does, and everyone right. can have. And then players who sign up for the free tier around now will also get 2 free months of Stadia Pro. So if you were an early adopter and you paid and you've been paying for Stadia, go fuck yourself.
A.K.A. David Webb, which is, I wish he was here right now.
Oh, that's right! Oh, man.
We have a victim here in our video game bang family, and not to rub it in his face at all, but we all know Webb is a techie. He likes techie things. He wants to experience things and decide for himself if they're good or if they're bad. Well, early on when he said, oh yeah, no, I'm going in, I'm going to check it out, we were all kind of like, Webb, are you sure though? Don't you want to wait? Yeah, and let someone else be the guinea pig, or at least don't pay to be the guinea pig. And sure enough, honestly, he said he was busy, but I think he saw what the topics were going to be and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to save myself a little shame. Don't need to be a part of another Google Stadia conversation.
But you know what? It's okay, because all of us free plebs only get 1080p, but you know, David's got the pro, so he can play in 4K. Oh, wait, actually, he can't play in 4K because Google just announced that as of now, nobody can play in 4K, even if you're a pro member. Yeah. 1080p is officially the highest it goes.
Right.
Which is crazy. I mean, like the descent, the fall from grace that Google Stadia is seeing. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that, you know, if you had a nice solid internet connection, which, you know, after the last episode that David Webb was on, we all know that unfortunately isn't the case for him anyway, even though he's paying for this part of the service. But like, that was the thing, you know, you could possibly get 4K, maybe even at 60 frames per second. And I was just like, this just seems like a pipe dream. And come to find out, you know, we also covered the fact that so many of the developers, you know, like, well, excuse me, some of them were, but people still weren't able to access the 4K. And then come to find out that Google Stadia, I guess, Google themselves was the one that was kind of throttling. And then they tried to put it all back on the developers. Well, the developers weren't developing all of the content in order to be able to do 4K. And finally, you know, we all looked at them kind of, you know, side-eyed. And now they just cut to the point and just cut it down to 1080. Oh, gosh. I don't know how much worse this can get. Kitty, at any point in time, were you eyeing Google Stadia as a possible gaming solution for yourself?
Nope. And not even a little bit.
I can tell you are a very wise woman. Come on. I mean, that's crazy. Like, oh, my gosh. I don't get it. Is there... Lexi, is there anything that Google Stadia can do to redeem themselves?
I mean, I don't know. In the marketing perspective, I feel like this is a great move for them because they're like, oh, here you go. You can play whatever. But it's also bad because now all the the people who subscribe, the pro members, are probably going to be pissed. But I don't know. I personally never once an iota in my mind thought like, oh, I'm going to go get Google Stadia. So I don't know. Maybe this will help with a lot of the gaming magazines and stuff to put more information out about the services, just as the marketing perspective, to help them a bit. But other than that, like, maybe people will see this as a way to, you know, try new things. But I personally am like, no, I'm not going to play this. I might would try it just to see what it's about, but would I buy this? No. Since it's free, I'll try it.
Even if you, like, you can get an account, but you still have to buy the games.
Well, then there's no sense. Like, I mean, I'm not, like, I have an Xbox, I have my computer, like, I have Steam and good old game, all these things. Like, why? Like, what's the point? All my achievements, like, no.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in a sense. I'm not that, no.
So I'm like, I'm not gonna get a new thing and buy the freaking game. No, thank you for that clarification. I'm not gonna buy this.
You're
welcome.
Yeah, and buy the games. I kind of want to try it just to like.
Just that's to a no see. From me.
Absolutely, I want to try it just to see like how bad it is at this point. And I know like
you for me try kinda, it to see how bad it is.
Oh yeah. Oh, I am when I don't do this when I'm driving, but if I'm walking or anything like that, I'm one of those people that I will sit and I will watch something burn. I want to experience. I mean, you know, I watched Tiger King, which I thought that was going to be terrible, but that ended
oh,
up
God.
Being,
oh God. Oh God. Nope.
That ended up being terrible in an Emma, incredible way.
I've already made Emma suffer. She doesn't need to suffer anymore.
Oh
yeah, she walked me through a lot of the show because I was like, I'm not gonna watch it. She's like, let me tell you about this fucking train wreck.
I basically summed up the entire show in maybe 20 minutes for her, and she's like, yep, that's good, that's enough for me.
So Lexi, I would like to correct myself in that, because I didn't think about this 5 seconds ago, so because you get 2 free months of Stadia Pro, you I would assume would have access to the Stadia Pro free games, so you could get like the Serious Sam collection, which is the only game on that list that I give a shit about. But there's like a handful of games that you get for free.
Oh my God.
Or that you have access to a Stadia Pro. So for 2 months, you get free Stadia Pro and try out those.
Not games. Even like legit AAA games.
No.
Just like
Game Pass alone is better than that. Jesus Christ.
Seriously,
raising my blood pressure because I'm like, bruh, I could go to Steam, buy all the indie games that I want, go to Xbox if I want, do the same thing. Like, why do I need this system of Google? You already have my email. That's all you need.
So the current list of games that Stadia Pro users can claim is Destiny 2. So that's your AAA game. Grid, Guilt, SteamWorld Dig 2, SteamWorld Quest, Hand of Gilgamesh, Serious Sam Collection, Spitlings, Stacks on Stacks on Stacks, and Thumper. And I don't know what 90% of those are.
So Destiny, essentially.
Wow. Yes, you can get Destiny. And Serious Sam. And Serious Sam.
Serious Sam.
But speaking of games that none of us can get.
Oh, here we go.
Kitty, are
no.
you
no, I'm not in a ready.
Headspace? To receive information that may hurt you.
You telling me that the Ellie Collector's Edition I got is going to fucking be refunded to me? Because I'm so
no,
don't tell me.
No,
I want to hear it.
I have not seen any confirmation of that yet. I've been looking.
It's coming. I know it's coming.
It's coming. So
it's coming.
I gave a very, very last minute invite to Kitty here on the show because I realized that we were going to talk about The Last of Us 2. And I think nobody in my life has had quite the reaction that you have had to this. Even myself, like, you're more upset than I am because you got the expensive collector's edition. Last of Us 2 got delayed, everybody.
Yep. Surprise, surprise. Again. again, indefinitely. Again. That's the part that burns is the indefinitely part.
Oh yeah. So when the first time we were getting kind of close to the original release date, and you said to me, you're like, it's not coming out. It's not like it's going to get delayed.
Oh yeah. I was like, oh no, it's getting delayed. And you're like, what? I was like, oh yeah.
Like, how do you don't know anything? And then like 2 days later, it got delayed, and I was like, shit, she was right. She knows. And then I think even after that delay, you were still like, it's not coming out. Like, it's not coming out. It's going to get pushed again. But did you think it was going to be indefinitely?
I didn't think the indefinitely delayed part was going to happen. I was expecting, like, honestly, I never thought it was going to come out for the PS4. I'm still convinced it's not going to come out for the PS4. I think that they are going to be dicks. And, well, Sony is going to be a dick in this respect. And push it to be either a launch title for the PlayStation 5 or something along those lines in order to sell, you know, I mean, obviously the PlayStation 5 will sell, but I mean, depending on how they officially are going to do their backwards compatibility, if it's not going to be a PlayStation 4 title, then you have to have a PlayStation 5 in order to play it. If it is going to be a PlayStation 5 title,
I
think it's gonna happen.
I've been mad ever since you said that. I'm like, if this happens, so help me God.
Right? Because people aren't thinking of it that way. Because they're like, oh yeah, you have a PlayStation 5, it'll play your PlayStation 4 games. Okay, great. But they're not saying what titles are they're, you know, making PlayStation 5 titles. So like, I was really excited when, you know, they definitely gave a release date finally to Ghosts of Tsushima, which is Sucker Punch's new game that's coming out, guys, that they showed off at E3. The better looking, much friendlier, not Sekiro game, basically. I was really happy to see that was going to be on PlayStation 4, right? But the way everything's going, I know Last of Us is going to be probably that. It's going to be a PlayStation 5 title.
You're thinking it's going to be a PS5 launch title and they're not even going to make a PS4 version?
I don't think it's going to be on PS4, no. If I had to take a guess in the long run what they're going to do, most likely that. But again, it all depends on the PlayStation 5's release date, because that will determine everything for the most part. Because they released the specs on the system what was that? It wasn't even like a real press conference. It was really techie.
Yeah, it was really, really boring. We talked about that.
It was so boring. And like,
I fell asleep at the end and I felt really bad.
Because I think the whole indefinitely thing is interesting. I wasn't expecting that. I honest to God, though, believe that, Naughty Dog Studios, it's not a big studio, guys. If you guys have ever, I've actually had the pleasure of game testing for them down there in Santa Monica. And I've seen the studios and it was like, oh my God, I was like a little kid in a candy store because they have so much cool stuff in there that I want to steal and keep for myself. But, you know, they're really tiny. You know, it's not a huge, you know, they don't have a bunch of studio bases, you know, all over the place. It's just them. And they're trying to create, you know, and we all know what kind of games they can create, but it takes time. And I think Sony's really been kind of breathing down their necks and forcing deadlines for them, which I think were impossible to begin with. And I think using, you know, it's not an excuse or a scapegoat, but I think it was kind of, be able to say, oh, because of the coronavirus, there's not going to be a release date, I think was kind of a blessing in disguise for them, because I think even with the new release date that they had to probably solidify with Sony was probably also another impossible, goal for them. I think that this game, from what we saw at E3 and what all they've shown, I think there's so much work that they have to do, and there was no way it was going to be ready to come out this year. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I don't know, but I think definitely with all these release dates getting pushed back or reissued release dates, we've seen it in the past with Uncharted 4. I mean, if you actually go and look back and see how many times that game was delayed and pushed back, even at like the PlayStation Experience, which didn't even happen this year, When Uncharted 4 was coming out, they re-issued a new date for it, and they even looked at Neil Druckmann, who's the creative art director for Naughty Dog, and was like, would you get this tattooed on you, you know, as like, this is the official release date. And he was like, oh yeah, and then it got delayed again, right?
Of course.
So I think that in this case, you know, I think unfortunately they've had these impossible deadlines that I don't think were ever going to happen. And I don't think, you know, they're not trying to give us false hope. It's kind of a no man's sky situation again, right? Where, you know, they can't, you know, delay it forever, but they need time to delay it. And I would much rather hear them say this is delayed, you know, for, you know, indefinitely in order for them to have a complete polished game that we want from Naughty Dog. Versus, you know, having kind of a no man's sky situation happen. and then having to, like, yeah.
What they said publicly is that the game is fully finished. It's completely done. And all that they're waiting on is just polishing and bug fixes. So that's what they're saying publicly, whether or not that's true or not, you know, who knows. And that the one of the biggest issues that they're facing with release is shipping. And they're just like, we can't ship out physical copies of this game. And it kind of sounds, what they've kind of said without saying, it sounds like, to me at least, is that they don't want to screw over people that had physical copies. And they're like, or the people that can't get digital copies, they talked about that. Like, there are whole swaths of people who cannot get digital copies and they don't want to separate them that way. So who knows? But then at the same time, they also refunded all pre-orders for digital, like immediately.
Yeah, that makes me think that they're trying to update the game, or they've developed a game that's going to run on a different type of engine than the PlayStation 4.
I'll be so mad.
Hoping that's not going to be the case. But the other thing too is they also announced too that it was strictly just story. There was going to be no multiplayer. And for those who've played multiplayer for like Uncharted 2 or 3 or even the previous Last of Us, they're actually really fun multiplayers to play online. And I think that maybe given more time, they'd actually would add multiplayer to The Last of Us 2 as well, because that was 100% confirmed. That was
it
not
was really well
with
loved.
This one.
The multiplayer for Last of Us was like, people loved that.
Oh yeah, no, it was really good. So I mean, maybe two with this delay, we'll get multiplayer, which would be nice. But yeah, I don't know when. I mean, the indefinitely part just makes me think that, yeah, because they even showed like Troy Baker, you know, and Ashley Johnson, you know, had a whole thing on they did on Instagram and their Twitters, like they announced when all the mocap stuff was done, which was like this. It was like, I think it was April this time last year.
Yeah,
is when they finished the mocap work, right? So even then, like, I still think that it's not done, even though they're saying it is. I don't think so. I think they've got a lot of stuff to do with it for sure, because we haven't seen anything. There was there's nothing new that's come about since,
right,
you know, what they showed at E3. So I don't know. Like, I want to be hopeful and positive, and I want it to come out, and I want to play it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if they need more time and it's eventually, yes, going to come out, then so be it. But at the same time, I'm like, please don't cancel my collector's edition, because there's no guarantee I'll be able to get that collector's edition again in the future.
That would suck. Curtis, so, and Lexi, have you guys played Last of Us?
I have not.
I've wanted to. I don't fire. Have a place.
Get out.
So. I would so bad.
Oh my god!
It looks really good.
You have to play. It's a life-changing experience, and within the first 10 minutes, you'll go on an emotional roller coaster.
Oh my god!
That is so intense. It'll beat half of your. Just it'll
devastating.
Oh my god! It's just one of the best cinematic stories in a video game you can get. Is The Last of Us. You have to.
What's weird about this to me, especially considering if we're going off the idea that it's going to be a PS5 launch title, what's weird about that to me, and what's weird about that theory and that Sony would do that, is that that's like a complete, not only is that not competing with Xbox, that's like throwing what Xbox is doing out the window, because Xbox has publicly come out and said that every single game that releases for the Xbox Series X for the first year, every single game will be playable on the Xbox One. You do not have to upgrade your system. Every launch title for the Series X, every game that comes out is going to be playable on the Xbox One. So you don't have to upgrade your system if you don't want to. It's like backwards compatibility plus. And then Sony's just going to be like, yeah, no, fuck that. And fuck backwards compatibility and fuck all of you. You have to buy our new system.
I mean, that's kind of what they already do with the PlayStation 4 regarding the PlayStation 3. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route. I mean, it made sense
with the PlayStation 4, though, because Xbox did the same thing. Like, it seemed like they both decided that they weren't going to do backwards compatibility. And at that time, you were like, well, if Xbox doesn't do it, Sony doesn't have to do it. And if Sony doesn't have to do it, Xbox doesn't have to do it. And Sony's just going to abandon that. And this is all theoretical. Like, we're all going off of a guess. Like, but it would be weird if they did that.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, right now, there's so many backwards compatible games you can play on the Xbox One, and it's fantastic. And the fact that they've got not only the 360, a lot of the 360 library, they also have original Xbox titles as well, which has been amazing. Versus, you know, over there with the PS4, it's like, oh yeah, you want to play, you know, before there was, like, let's say the Spyro remaster, right? Or Crash Team Racing, which I absolutely adore. You know, they're like, oh, well, you can go buy some of these titles right on your PlayStation 3 and play them, and some are available on the PlayStation 4, but mostly none of those, you know, original PlayStation or PlayStation 2 games are. But hey, you can rebuy it and give us more money, but we're not going to give you backwards compatibility. So.
Sony, please.
Sony, yeah. Sony.
It's unfortunate.
Speaking of the PS5, all see the monstrosity they released yesterday?
Memes have been great.
Do we all hate it here, or am I an outlier?
Like, just make it all black. Just make the black.
Curtis, did you see it?
System that's black and white.
I did see it. I don't hate it, but I definitely don't love it. I'm kind of the mind, like, I would like to see an all black version or even an all white version. But, like, the strange Oreo, not digging it. It's a very apparent attempt to try to, you know, bring it closer to the Xbox controller, which is the
I'm
best controller.
I'm actually happy about that.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Because we haven't actually said it, we're talking about the PS5 controller, the DualSense.
Yes.
They released photos of it yesterday. And it is hideous. It is the ugliest thing, I swear to God. And what's weird is, like, ergonomically, I really like it because it is going way closer. They're abandoning the DualShock. They've had the DualShock design since 1994. They've been rocking that same fucking design for like 25 years. And they're finally kind of moving away from it, and they're moving closer to the Xbox, which in my opinion has always had a much better ergonomic design. Like, I think the Xbox 360 was the perfect controller. Like, they cornered the market on exactly the perfect controller, and we're just going to get to a point where everything is kind of an offshoot of that, which is, I think, in my opinion, a very good idea. So ergonomically, like, the shape of it is fine, but the design is hideous. I hate it so much.
It's fine. You can just Sharpie it in. It's all good.
I saw, like, people were Photoshopping it to be all black, and it looked so much better. And then, like, people thought it was, like, all black, and then they did the colored symbols and the colored PS4, like, PlayStation symbol in the center, and it looks so much better.
Yeah.
I just don't want an Oreo of a system. I don't need a half white, half black system. Because if that's what the controller looks like, I can only imagine the monstrosity that's going to be the visual image
that's exactly
of the PlayStation
what I was worried
5.
About. I was like, they put out a white controller. Does that mean this goes with a white system? What the fuck? Because I'm looking over here at my entertainment system where everything is black and everything fits aesthetically. And they're like, we're going to put out this ugly ass white box. I'll be so upset. So, like, now I feel like we're all just waiting with bated breath to see what the system itself is going to look like.
If you want some good laughs, though, look up the memes that have surrounded that controller. Like, what people have seen it looks like is just, oh my god, it's horrific.
Yeah, the Fisher Price one was pretty funny.
Oh, I just got that one.
He said, say no to weebs in the chat, because we are doing this live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Say no to weebs said, no trolling. No, he said, just give us the PlayStation 2 controller back.
No, yes. I hate the DualShock. Like, I mean, I don't hate it, but like, the DualShock design has always been inferior to the Xbox design, in my opinion. Like, even, I know a lot of people fight about the Duke. I think the Duke is better than the PlayStation controllers. But as soon as you got to 360, there was no question. Like, the Xbox controller has always been better ever since.
I'm going to counter you on that.
Fight me!
Okay, all right, here we go. Let's go.
Who's the guy that said the comment that you just read? I'm sorry, what was his name?
Say no to weebs.
Say no to weebs. I appreciate your comment, sir, because I loved the PlayStation 2, that original DualShock. I loved it so much. The 360 controller was fine. It was okay.
Fine.
But
I'm gonna kick her out of this hole.
But I do 100% like love the Xbox One controller, far superior to the PlayStation 4 controller. I don't know what happened with the PlayStation 4 controller, but
the thing that kills me about the PlayStation 4 controller is that there's no weight to it. It's so light. It's not as bad as the PS3, because the PS3 one was like fucking holding a helium balloon, which it drove me nuts. I was like, I feel like I'm gonna break this. Like, it's so it's not brittle, but it feels like it. I don't know. I wasn't about it. But the PlayStation 2 was the only PlayStation I never had. So I will put that caveat. I had the 1, 3, and 4.
It's fine. I got mine. You can borrow it.
Yeah, the PlayStation 2 was amazing. I do agree. I mean, it was at that point. Like, that's the thing about the PlayStation 4 controller, is that somehow it was worse than I felt like all the other ones. Like, just as far as like ergonomics and feeling everything, I feel like it was worse. And then not only that, we're farther along with technology, so like, you have no excuse for it to be worse. You have all these other controllers. I mean, even the GameCube controller, you know, which is still one of my favorite ones, like, but just ergonomically and how the buttons are and everything, even if you don't like the extra mushy trigger buttons, at least they are there, they are easy to access. You know, overall, ergonomically, they feel good and they're fun to push. Literally, it was maybe a week with my PlayStation 4 controller to where I was like, I couldn't do it anymore. And I went and I sold stuff and I got myself an Astro C40, which is basically, you know, the Xbox controller, because you can rearrange everything in it. And I just configured it like it was an Xbox controller, because it was it like you said, it had weight to it. It felt, you know, good and solid in my hands. And the triggers. I cannot stand the PlayStation 4 triggers. I like the Switch Pro controller is far superior than the PS4 controller, and there's just no reason for it. So it's nice to see that PlayStation is acknowledging the fact that they needed to make a change. So I'll give them that, but you know, they need to take this feedback and they definitely need to nail the design, and hopefully they don't if they're going to make a white PlayStation 5, okay, fine. But make sure you have an option for the black one, because there's going to be, just like for the PlayStation 4, there's going to be plenty of people who end up not wanting that one.
It's funny that you mentioned the triggers, because the triggers for the PS5 controller are actually one of the things that I'm most excited to try, because they, in that like long techie presentation they did, they talked about the controller triggers. And they, or no, it wasn't that. It was like some article. But basically, it sounds like there's real-time resistance to the triggers. Goodness. So like, if you're, say you're like using, or you're playing Last of Us and you're using a bow and arrow, it feels different than if you're playing a game and shooting a gun. And it feels different than if you're throwing something. Like, there's real resistance in how they work. So I'm really excited to see that. Which is like, all the like the features that they've talked about, the ergonomics of the controller, I'm like here for it. I am excited to try it. I'm excited that they're improving on the DualShock design and like moving away from it, but it's just so fucking ugly. It's just so ugly.
They are gonna need to work on, and like I said, something to say. I mean, we've seen the Photoshop renditions, renderings of the all black one. That's fine. And like I said, even when they did the all white one, even the all white one looked better, but I don't know what it is about just having like that little bottom lip and then the inside of the controller, you know, like past the face of it. I don't know what it is about having that black, but it just it just doesn't jive. And I would really appreciate if they would make the cross and the circle and the box and the triangle. I would really appreciate if they just went ahead and, you know, colored those in there. Mm-hmm. You know, make it like the hat. Come on, y'all. Let's take it back to the
Also announced they announced a while ago that the controller would have microphones in it. So there's built-in microphones in the controller, which I'm actually very excited for as well. And it's something that I really wish Xbox would do, because the first thing that I thought of when they said that there's microphones in the controller is obviously, like, you can talk to people without needing a headset, which is nice. But my first thought was that you can do voice commands without having to have the camera.
Oh.
Because the PlayStation 5 right. has voice commands, and they have, like, I just played The Inpatient, that I know you've played as well, Kitty. And
yep.
The voice commands in that game are so fucking cool. Like, it's one of those where, if you haven't played it, there's, you know, you have dialogue options all the time. You have A and B, you know, you pick which one you want. And so you can kind of scroll to which option you want, or you can just say it. Like, they'll both come up on screen, and you say the line that you want, and it hears you, and it registers that, and that, like, you don't have to press anything. And it's just a, like, one more level of immersion that was really, really cool. And just, like, even, you know, turning the PlayStation on with voice commands or navigating around the system with voice commands, which I love to do on my Xbox constantly. And I hate that I can't do that without a Kinect, which they now don't make anymore. So, like, if you can't get a Kinect, how do you do voice commands? Right. So I really wish Xbox would adopt that as well. And then they had to clarify that there is a headphone jack in the controller, because, like, you couldn't see it in the pictures and people lost their minds. They're like, there's a headphone jack, there's microphones in it, you'll be able to hear things and say things with this controller, like, it'll be fine. So memes aside and how fucking hideous it is aside, I actually am excited to actually try the controller hands-on. But for right now, all we have to go on are the aesthetics, and it's so ugly.
The one thing I was happy to see on that controller, though, is that they did away with the light sensor bar, and that it's integrated. You can still see it's there, but it's more integrated with the giant, you know, home button than it is just there on the controller. Because I can't tell you when that... and those of us who had the PlayStation 4 at launch had to struggle with how bright that light was. I was even one of those people, like, I went on eBay and bought, like, decals to put over it because I was tired of it reflecting back at me. And as we know now, you know, they have since fixed the major issues with it. It's a lot dimmer. You know, they have the option for that. It doesn't eat as much of your battery life anymore. But I'm hoping that with this controller, depending on how the internal specs are, I'm hoping we get a controller that lasts even longer than the PlayStation 4 one.
Yeah.
Because that would make me very happy.
Yeah, that light was horrible. Because I remember when PT came out, they hadn't fixed the light, and it was so fucking bright, and I was playing that game in the dark all the time, and I was like, cool, it's like I have all the fucking lamps in this room on. It was so bright. I hated it.
It was. Yeah, and how it protruded just felt weird. So it is... It's nice that it is, like, flush with the rest of the controller now, and we'll see if more people actually want to integrate things that will actually make it worth a little bit more in games, because, you know, that it was only here and there that.
And the way it responds is cool. Like, it usually, the way I usually see it used is for health. Like, when you're about to die, the light turns red, and, you know, stuff like that, and that's cool. You know, as, like, a kind of surface thing. And so if they can make it less intrusive, that would be an even better reason to utilize it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was kind of cool, the original ideas with the PlayStation 4 controllers, because, like, if you played Infamous Second Son, you used it like a spray paint can, you know, you had to shake it and do whatnot with it. With certain VR games, that actual touchpad, you know, is really handy. As you just played Death Stranding, you all know, you know, ugh, about having to
rock
please
the stupid baby.
The baby. But it'll be interesting to see with the PlayStation 5 controller what they took away or added to, or I'm sure there's going to be some little surprise that's built in, hopefully, that we will like, and maybe they'll do away with some of the other stuff that, unless it was a, you know, Sony title, you really couldn't utilize the controller to its fullest extent. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
So I think
I want Microsoft to bring back the Kinect so I can have my dance games and a dance. Please. I love Just Dance.
Dance can suck a dick. The game sucks. Dance control. is so much better. Is where it's
at now. But I really want someone to come back out with a DDR pack, because I know they have emulators and people have told me this, and I get that. I mean, but I feel like that's where it's at. Everybody still loves those. Like, I played PlayStation 2 and I had DDR and I went ham on that game.
Oh, so fun. I was telling Emma this super recently. I'm like, Emma, we need to do a DDR stream. Like, I will bust out my mats and the PlayStation 2. You're and then we bad. Both realized we don't stream in a space big enough for DDR.
My space might be usable, around. But I can't imagine if you had... Your space is even smaller than mine.
Oh, my! No, there's no way. Like, I would kill myself if I...
We could fit, like, one DDR mat in my...
We need two, though. We need two.
If I wasn't on the second floor, I would say you could completely use my space, but I would drive my roommates crazy. I couldn't even do it. But I could only imagine how much weight I would have, like, I would be losing if I had DDR and the dance pad in my room. Oh my gosh. I'd be burning calories left and right. But thus, here we are in quarantine without such great things. But everybody, we've made it through another episode of the Video Game Bang Podcast. Before we go, want to give everybody an opportunity to plug anything that they got going on. Let's go ahead and start with Lexi. Lexi, any streams coming up? Are you any closer to streaming now at all?
Oh my god. So first of all, shout out to, I don't know if they're in the chat, Pocket Asian and Lost Sheep, because they've been trying to help me, their precious hearts, get my stream working. So yes, I am closer. I have my stream, which you can go follow. It's X space Minty X, like lowercase X, on both sides. So you can go follow me there, but yeah, I'm getting closer. Maybe this weekend I'll try a test stream. This past weekend I kind of did, but my computer totally crashed because I guess it was just working too hard. So we'll try an actual test one this weekend if you guys want to see it. And of course, follow me on Twitter, LexiJPR.
Awesome. All right. Fingers crossed we get those streams going soon. And Kitty, what about yourself? Any streaming, any other kind of activities going on that we should know about?
For sure. I definitely have plenty of time for streaming nowadays. I stream 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Fridays, and Saturdays, all starting at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You guys can check me out on It's Bad Kitty on Twitch, and of course my Instagram. You can see all my fun cosplay work, and that's going to be Bad Kitty Cosplay. And then I've got a Twitter with the same handle too, but I never use it. So yeah, if you need to check it out or hit me up, it's Bad Kitty on Twitch or Bad Kitty Cosplay on Instagram. And I'm playing right now Soma on Twitch, and we definitely have a lot of good games lined up, and hopefully a couple duo streams with Emma, hopefully. So Emma, when's that happening?
Do you want to do it on tomorrow?
Tomorrow? I mean, we'll figure it out.
It might happen tomorrow. So Emma Sky is outside of a possible duo stream tomorrow. What else you got going on this week?
I'll be streaming the next couple days. I'm in the middle of like shipping hell right now. We did a lot of giveaways on my charity stream, so I have a lot of info to get from everybody and order from printers and get giveaways and things sent out, which is what I've been doing most of. But my general schedule week to week has now been Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 p.m. You can usually catch me on Twitch those days. Emma Skies, doing the usual.
Doing the use, very good. And then myself, I've mostly been streaming on twitch.tv/ thinking_critical_YT. Reading comics to people, like a little bedtime story, a little lullaby to put y'all to sleep, put me to sleep. And mostly that's where I've been playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance as well. So if you want to come over there, also watching some cool comic book videos too, just, you know, sharing comic book video community with people, so you know people just don't check us out but know the other awesome channels that are out there, Comic Strokes and Comics Herald and all those various things. But yeah, come check me out, hang out with me, especially if you don't have much to do and just looking for some community, just like we all are, you know, as we're sheltering in place and practicing our social distancing. You know, we still want to find ways to connect. Video Game Bang is one of those ways, so we always appreciate y'all joining us live on Twitch as well as tuning in to the podcast. Shout out to Corey Vincent, aka What's Up Pizzas, as he is inundated with work right now and hopefully will be with us next week. Shout out to our resident webhead David Webb, dodging all the Google Stadia shade, which is why he couldn't be here today. Not really, he's busy as well, but we appreciate those guys. Hopefully they'll be back around next time. Thank you, It's Bad Kitty, for being with us today, and we will check y'all out next time. Later.